Some paths teach that life is suffering. Some teach that it's illusion. It's completely without value. But satyogis know that this reality created by God is for sport. It is a great game. In fact, the Greeks represented it as the Olympic game. The game of becoming a god. The game of overcoming all of those illusions of suffering and becoming a master over the mind of Maya and becoming free of all the bondages and handicaps with which one has to start the game. It is a sport designed for the most adventurous, for those who know how to combine wildness and discipline, for those who know how to free their creative intelligence from all limiting paradigms of thought. It's a sport in which one must defeat the opponent known as death. And death comes to us in the form of the narcissistic ego. Do you realize that the ego is death? It submits you to the false belief that you are limited to a mortal body and thus subject to death. If you fall into its clutches and fail to free yourself in the fight club of divine consciousness, then you will belong to death. Death will be your boss. You will serve death by serving the mortal body out of fear of death. And you will not live in the blissful consciousness of the conqueror of death. But that is the art of the sport in which we are engaged, a martial art, a strategic art, an art that requires all of the powers of consciousness. And requires us to be free of all tendency to self-deception. To win this game, one must find a way to overcome the limits of the ego mind, simply because the ego mind does not contain a sufficient amount of intelligence to defeat the opponent. And this is the reason that one must engage in the practice of the vertical ascension of the Kundalini past the Brahmarandra, in which one's consciousness reunites with the source of our being, from which we had become disconnected through our forgetfulness of our true nature, and our consciousness became limited to a tiny fractal sliver of its true fullness of infinite capacity. And so only by resonating again at the vibrational frequency of the infinite consciousness, in which the particularity of the bodily, organismically locused consciousness of the ego is surmounted, can we then reunite with that infinite consciousness that constitutes the entire cosmos. And bring the entirety of that power, that Shakti, the power of the goddess, into our lived reality, and be able to open the eye of Shiva and perceive with supreme non-duality the true nature of the game board, the field in which the play, the Kurukshetra, in which the Gita battle must be won against the enemy, which is our own blindness, our own shadow, the darkness created by the karmic traces of the failure to recognize who we are. And we are in the final round of this boxing match, of this sword fight, of this battle of life and eternal consciousness or death. And a sentence to the wheel of life and death for another cycle of time. Liberation must be won here and now in this final lifetime or never. And so every last drop of energy, of willpower, of intention must be unified in order to attain the goal of overcoming the gravity of the false consciousness and its pull toward attachment, towards phenomenal plane security, and toward all of the values that are based on fear and lack. And instead, we must live in total faith and trust in our supreme nature that fears nothing, and that attains the Shaktipat, the descent of grace, that turns the individual from a helpless, lost soul to a siddha. A siddha is a super shaman, one who has attained powers that are similar to that of most shamans, but the shaman only attains the power of plant spirits and of other limited beings in the intermediate realm of the imaginal plane. But the satyogi attains the fullness of union with the absolute spirit, the invincible almighty spirit. And so the satyogi cannot be defeated. but only if one lives in sat, with a sat mind and a sattvic heart. And most important of all, a unified will. Because the ego will is split, conflicted, internally fragmented, and therefore it is weak, because any particular fragment, even if it has a sattvic desire or yearning to get to a higher assemblage point, will fail because it has conflicting internal desires for other goals that keep it anchored in lower assemblage points. And so the will must be unified. And if that unification does not take place, one can never be wholehearted. And with willpower that cannot be defeated, that will endure through all adversity, it is that power of will united to the chit, the free infinite intelligence of God, that creates the accurate power of action in the world that overcomes all karma and brings about the shifts within the morphogenic field that produce the victory in this Kurukshetra, in which we battle against the dark forces within our own consciousness, individually and collectively. And so, internally, each yogi is a horde of fragmented partial consciousnesses, each with its own subjectivity and its own object, that all must be united with the one objective of attaining God consciousness and liberation. And then, because as within, so without, as above, so below, the consciousness of the collective in the morphogenic field of yogis will be unified to create a coherent energy field in which the dark forces are defeated externally as well as internally. And only thus can the new world, the kingdom of heaven, be created and sustained. And this requires of each soul the humbling of its ego, the turning of its ego from master into slave, into server of God, rather than rebel against the power and the will of God. And it is only when the soul is itself unified through reabsorption of the ego into itself, and the soul reabsorbs through adoration into its supreme source, into absolute Shiva consciousness, from being the dwarf to becoming Nataraj, only then is the victory celebrated with the Tandava. And for the Satyogi, the Ananda Tandava and the Rudra Tandava are one. And so this must be our highest priority, if not our only priority, that requires constant remembrance, constant self-recognition, constant freedom from egoic thought constructs and narratives, constant pure total presence united with the Satchitananda state. Of our true self. But as the shamans of every tribe know, one of the best ways of escaping the ego's grip is to enter into a state of trance, in which the wildness of the soul is freed from its egoic dungeon as repressed consciousness, not allowed to become fully awakened into that level of consciousness that has become touched by the presence of God and divinized. And shamans use the technique of rhythmic drumming to overcome the ego's narrative and its attitudinal, prosaic separation from the modulations and the pulsations of the spanda. And the drumming replicates that energy. The shamans use that trance state to be possessed. We must do the same, but we must choose to be possessed by the archetype of the highest, most powerful, absolute consciousness. This alone will bring us victory. How many are ready to enter into a sacred trance and become possessed by God? Mm-hmm. Bravo. Mm-hmm. May the satyogis in this Kurukshetra begin the Gita battle with the power of the sacred drums of Shiva. Will you lead the drumming, Yogi Raj? As we enter into an altered state, we can lower the lights a bit, I hope, and we can enter into such a state that we are freed of inhibition. Let the body sway and move, and if it wishes to rise and to dance, fine, let the body do what it will, but the consciousness must be focused on being possessed either by Shakti or Shiva, by the power goddess, by the Supreme One, or by the two, as Artha Narishvara, the Lord who is Shakti and Shiva in combined union. But let yourself be possessed mentally, emotionally, and bodily, so that this possession remains your constant state and this trance of divine realization never ends. Go for it. We need a good, strong rhythm. Let the consciousness completely leave behind the mundane level. Enter into the timeless, the primeval, the unborn, the timeless, the wildness, the freedom, the power, the greatness of the warrior spirit. Of the creator, the sustainer, the destroyer. Realize your fearless heart. Bravery to overcome the ego, to silence the mind, to be possessed by the light, by the supreme power. Break through all boundaries. Realize the infinite. orphanage. Drop all inhibitions. Claim your freedom. You're watching on Zoom. Dance. Be possessed. Shiva hum. Shiva hum. Thank you.
are Shiva. You are Shakti. Claim your true identity. Once and for all, liberation now. May all the gods and goddesses come back to satsang. Come back transformed, released, redeemed, complete in the fullness of your power. Dhanyavad, divine drummers. Thank you for that accompaniment of our Jivan Mukti. I hope you are all in the ecstatic, true state of your eternal self, and that you choose never to return to the mundane ego, but claim your freedom. And keep the consciousness free of any traces of the egoic illusion. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Okay, the floor is open. How do the sat yogis feel about this satsang?
Wonderful. Wonderful.
All right, beautiful. Is there any other comments from your divine nature that you wish to share? Please feel free. We have a mic, yeah? So we can throw it to whomever wants to talk. Let the speech come from the silence, from the absolute nature of your being.
That was beautiful. I really enjoyed it. It was nice to let go. Sometimes in satsang I feel more, there's more inhibitions that will come up.
Because you're trying to be a good boy.
Probably.
Yeah, give that up.
So it was good to let go and just move. Yeah, and it reminded me of like a kirtan I was listening to the other day, and you mentioned the Rudra Shiva, and suddenly it ignited something, and just I had to dance, and I had to move, and it felt ecstatic. And then at the same time, there was this superego saying, like, no, you should be calmer. You should maybe just sit more and meditate or whatever, or read. And there was just a very strong impulse. And I can sense, even when you were speaking before, this breaking free from the ego and letting loose, and how strong that gravity is, and it doesn't want to show itself fully or come out. And but then everyone came up, and it opened a lot of joy. A lot of joy and more of a sense to just trust in letting go, believing that that's okay. even though the superego is there, and even here, moments of like, oh, am I banging the cowbell too hard and I shook off the maraca?
Boy, you got a tough superego. Nail that sucker with a lightning bolt, will you, please?
yeah, it was great. Thank you.
All right, beautiful. Anyone else?
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to get the energy moving. I kind of have a scheduled time each week where I play drums at home, and I guess this question has been coming up, you know, a little bit lately, because I look forward to it as almost like an exercise, physical release, which I think is important. But there is also this aspect of wanting to bring creativity to it, and it not just be like a thrash kind of session, because I enjoy the physicality of it. I can feel I'm getting something out.
The aggression of the ego. Yeah.
But that's, to me, the most kind of base level of its usefulness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can appreciate that, like meditating before I sit down to play, so that it's kind of more musical and less thrashy is important. But that transition from it being a release into more of a creative kind of venture, is it just a matter of persistent practice and integrating the meditation into it?
Well, it's a paradigm shift, right? So you're there to thrash the ego, not to be the ego thrashing its own objects, right, and superegos and whatever else, right? So it has to be a determination to be possessed by that power that can overcome the ego in its suffering and free you of it. And then you'll put yourself into a very powerful trance state in which the music will accentuate and take you even higher into the vibrational frequency of the silence beyond sound.
It's interesting what you were saying about the balance between creativity discipline and wildness.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that having a drumming practice where I'm like focusing on rudiments and not being wild, just like following the drum chart, basically, is something that's lacking. I can see how creativity would be born out of that. It's kind of still more at the wild phase instead of the discipline, which I think is reflected in my life overall. Right?
Mm-hmm. In a way, they do have to start as separate drives. They are, in a way, the Dionysian and the Apollonian, right? And then they become integrated, and you recognize the power that comes from that integration that neither of those two have alone, right? And so you're not just trying to get it from a technical perspective, and you're not just being wild and being without a higher purpose, let's say, to your practice. But when those two come together, then the art becomes a sublimation channel that brings you into your divine nature.
It's interesting, the word synergy has been coming up in different things that I've been reading recently, in particular this idea that, you know, each thing on its own has a particular, let's say, potential, and through the accurate combining of them, something completely different is born. So I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
And the more that your vertical consciousness at higher assemblage points gets caught up in the music, then you'll find that it begins to ascend and become ever more subtle and powerful and transcendental in its effect upon your consciousness as you play. That's true with regardless of what instrument you play, but percussion especially, but it's true of a violin or a guitar or whatever, any art. And it's true in the martial arts, and it's true in every art. So this integration is the key. But it has to be vertical, not just an integration at the horizontal level. And then the higher powers kick in and lift it to a higher level of freedom and a vibrational frequency that transcends the ego. And then you establish yourself there. And even when the music stops, you stay in that sound of silence, and you are beyond the need to come back into the lower assemblage points.
Is it as simple as making that intention, or is intention the wrong kind of paradigm? Like,
no, it's intention, it's will to transcend, but through love, through adoration of that higher level of your being, and that then can overcome the lower.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. That was a beautiful exercise. I feel that two things came to my mind. One is this song I used to listen to when I was younger. It's called Rhythm Is Gonna Get You. And I, that's what I experienced, right? I started doing the tambourine, and suddenly, I don't know if the tambourine was playing me or I was playing the tambourine. Mm-hmm. And that was the openness that is needed to actually have the freedom to let oneself be played, first by the tambourine. Mm-hmm. And my second comment was that there was a group energy that was also getting one as a one. And then, of course, beyond that group energy, there was a higher energy. So again, there was different levels. The instrument that was being played, or was I played by the instrument? Then there was the group energy. And finally, a higher energy, Shiva, that was playing all of us. Mm-hmm. So it was a very uncanny and joyful experience and imperience in a way, right? And then finally, I just want to say that there was a level of freedom, so I wanted to emphasize the freedom. When one allows oneself to be free, that's when the magic happens. Mm-hmm. And in a way, there was some kind of a possession that was occurring, as you said. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was very beautiful, and it's contagious. And what it led me to understand better was the creation of a field. We were creating a field, and if that is what we can, and we are creating here a field that will elevate consciousness, our own and others, we just did that, you know? And everyone was suddenly moved and moving and smiling and enjoying the freedom that we were all sharing. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was very beautiful. Thank you.
Hey, Mrs. Tambourine Woman. It's not an either or that you were playing the tambourine or the tambourine was playing you. You are the tambourine. We are all one, right? And it's not just that Shiva is playing us. Mm-hmm. We are Shiva playing ourselves, right? True. So we have to have that level of non-duality. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, when the music ends, you think, oh, I'm just back to my old me, and I've lost Shiva and the boundless universal self that is all, right? Mm-hmm. So recognize this is your natural state, regardless of whether there is dance and music or there is the peaceful sound of silence. Mm-hmm.
Very true. And I am left with a very deep and very high vibration, which I feel has not left my my awareness.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Thank
May
you.
It remain and be augmented forever. Ah, Amrita.
Alice, agree. Thank you for the exercise.
Exercise?
Well, yeah, the exercise too. I felt the whole the what would you call it?
Whatever you wish.
Yeah, it was. There was, I could see parts playing out within the dance in a way of there was getting into the flow and getting into it and feeling free and feeling open. And then there was this, the voices of hypocrisy or hypocrites.
A superego attack calling you that.
Yes, myself saying, oh, this is fake, I'm, you know, fake, you know, this is, what am I doing? And then it was like back and forth in a way.
Mm-hmm. That's the battle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it was interesting seeing it played out because I did enjoy it and it felt freeing actually to move and to just let go, you know. Mm-hmm. And then there was that the aspects of coming in and saying no, this is
that's the problem with the ego. It's got a warden in its prison that says you can't get out, you don't deserve to get out, you're not the real thing, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You can't believe it. You have to destroy that voice completely and free yourself from this prison of limited consciousness, right? It's hypocritical to stay as the ego and to allow the superego to dominate you because you have more power than it has. It's your puppet and you won't realize that and you think it controls you. But you, it's your mind, and you've given that voice its power to dominate you. Why have you done that? Mm-hmm. You see, as a child, you want to have a parental voice saying, don't cross the street because there's cars coming and look both ways, right? So you take that in and internalize it because you're learning the rules of the game of society and how to survive and get to where you want to get. When you are not sure of yourself, you see? But once you know who you are and you go through that rite of passage into the fearless adult nature of the warrior spirit, then you have to get rid of that superego. You have to get rid of all the voices of childhood, both the child voice and the parental voice. And that without that, there's no liberation. There's no freedom. And then only can you be uninhibited and then let your full nature come in and overcome all obstacles. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. So make sure you throw a lightning bolt into that voice and don't let it return.
Mm-hmm. Haji, thank you for that. Yeah, I felt what you were just saying, like the hypocrisy of not feeling real, like that was exactly that feeling, but it's actually the ego not feeling real. Like it's like,
it's the one who believes that voice that isn't real.
Yeah.
You are real, but you've created a voice, two voices, because one believes the other one, that are not real. Yes. They're fantasies from long ago. Drop them, and then you will know who you really are, and you'll never be disturbed by such strange and false thoughts. But once you believe those attacking thoughts, you shrink. And then you become what the thoughts are accusing you of being. It's like a curse. Mm-hmm. And you're allowing your own mind to curse you. You don't need enemies. You've got the worst enemy possible living in your own mind. Don't allow that. Okay? Destroy it. That's the meaning of Shiva, the destroyer. The power to free yourself from all negative voices and tendencies of self-sabotage in the ego. Okay?
Yes, Haji.
Okay.
Thank
Beautiful.
You.
Thank you for that, I don't know if I'd call it exercise, but opportunity for joy sharing. That's what it felt like in the community. You know how to get a party started.
Ah.
You're good at that. Many years ago, if I'm remembering accurately, I was reading through a book about how to design a house, and part of it was about designing neighborhoods and communities, and one of the things that was included was you have to have a place for dancing in the neighborhood. And I thought that was really beautiful. I was like, well, that's not very common. You know, maybe concert halls and stuff, but like to have a place in a neighborhood where people can gather and dance. And that always stuck with me. And tonight, there was something to that practice, let's say, of being able to be uninhibited and the practice of being able to share joy and play with one another, like in the community, not just an individual kind of personal sadhana, but that practice of being with one another and sharing in that. And there was this thought of like, this is what people should do together. In part, not only, the only thing people should do together. We work and we eat and we meditate.
It is what tribes used to do together.
Yeah.
That was the main activity.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so there was something very natural about it. But this is the second time recently that you've gathered or we've gathered together with you, and there's been this opportunity to play. We had the play a few weeks ago and then this. And I find that... my question is having to do with what you were just responding to, Amrita. Like, there is this sense of, like, being able to practice that play in a context that feels a little bit safer, I don't know, more contained, contextualized. Like, it was the perfect amount of dancing, and now we're back, and we're gathering together and bringing the practice into something else, let's say, the sharing into something else. And I don't know how much that's my ego's, you know, fear of playing and being without those superego voices, or is there something to the context and the balance of having, like, a satsang that allows for play and then coming back together, like the difference, let's say, of having something that's, like, a little bit more communally structured and balanced with Dharma and the teachings versus... these voices in the head that are just parental.
Sure.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. Without a superstructure of Dharma, the dancing would have no purpose, no higher purpose than just chaos and drunkenness, and right, it would be a rave. It wouldn't be a satsang any longer, and it would soon become dominated by primitive forces in the subconscious rather than the higher superconscious. So yes, we keep our intentionality sattvic, and all that we do is in the service of God. That's why we want to be possessed by God. And in that state, then, we can do no wrong, and our wildness will produce beauty and goodness and harmony and divine love rather than aggression and fear and all those paranoid states of the ego, because that's what you have surmounted through this act of transcending your ego by becoming uninhibited and without boundaries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. This will be with me for a while because I already have a blister on a toe. So, yeah. The only superego I had was not hitting anybody. I was feeling it. I just actually have a question, if I may.
Sure.
You spoke to unifying the will. Mm-hmm. What is the effortless way to do that?
If all aspects of your consciousness can love that supreme power, even if they have different reasons for loving that power, because they want power, or they want love, or they want intelligence, or they want joy, they want beauty, they want whatever, all of the powers and virtues and qualities of God consciousness, each fragment may want a different one, but they'll all want God, right? And they'll want to have that ultimate fulfillment of their yearning. And so that's how you unify them all.
Okay. Right. Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. Beautiful. Oh, go ahead. Veronica. No, you go.
I notice it's about masculine and feminine energies. You said invoke Shiva and Shakti. Mm-hmm. I notice each time I feel encaged or controlled by ego forces, they feel very masculine to me. Mm-hmm. And when there's music and dance, it's mm-hmm. it's my main way of freeing myself. I do mm-hmm. it every week, so I teach it. So mm-hmm. It's like a feminine energy comes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And it's more, it felt like, again today, like more Kali or Durga or mm-hmm. maybe Ganesh, I don't know. But it's like something very ancient mm-hmm. gets awakened to free itself from mm-hmm. this kind of oppression of the masculine mm-hmm. energy.
Yes.
That's the correct feeling I have.
Yeah, the ego of everyone, whether you're in a male or female body, the ego is male. And the soul is feminine. The soul has the heart. And the soul has the adoration and love of God. The ego doesn't, right? So yes, you are freeing yourself, and it is in the feminine nature that each of us have, at soul conscious level, and that brings us to that supreme level that's beyond both masculine and feminine. The two are integrated and transcended. Okay.
Yeah, it's more towards the end of the dance than the tiredness is coming, mm-hmm. and it's like a good tiredness that mm-hmm. the ego's strategies mm-hmm. and super ego voices, everything, it just gets exhausted. They can't yeah. get through because the rhythm is there, and just yeah. they have nothing to say anymore. Yeah. And then the silence comes, and again, movement and silence are one, and yes. it's beautiful at the end. Like,
yeah, it's dancer's high, similar to runner's high. I think that's why people run also. When you get too exhausted, your mind can't think anymore, and you're free of ego for about an hour until, you know, the body is recovered. But what you want to do is establish yourself permanently in that state so the ego can never come back and dominate you.
Okay. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you. Rajiv Lama, yeah.
I like Rudra.
Ah.
And as the teaching before we dance, the unification of the will with chit. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. The heart has to remain sattvic, mm-hmm. right? But the will and the intelligence mm-hmm. are unified.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what is bringing this up is a question in regards to this reconnecting with Rudra, mm-hmm. that intelligence mm-hmm. that the superego would never allow the wildness to come out, mm-hmm. and so. As the will unifies in love with God, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, overrides the superego, mm-hmm. and raises the intelligence to awaken aspects of the vibrational frequency of the soul mm-hmm. that has in its memory bank, I imagine, this aspect of Rudra.
Mm-hmm.
Asking if that's the kind of connection that...
Well, you actually connect with Rudra directly, not yeah. just through... It's the soul that connects with that supreme power to destroy the superego voices that inhibit you and to break all the boundaries of the ego's prison of a limited belief in itself and what is possible and what is appropriate, etc., and break through all limitations into that supreme reality.
And the effect then of in which the Kundalini keeps moving even way after the music is over. The resonance remains.
Yes.
And so that's also very clear. It just stays there, and the joy and the flow and that love dance is going on energetically without that. And so coincidentally, no coincidences, but as I stood in front of Ramana before the satsang, what I heard was Nada Yoga. You know, I haven't thought
Nada
about
Nada means sound, right?
Sound, so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting because, you see, within the phenomenal plane, it's sound wave vibrations that transmit and sustain the energy field. But there are four levels of sound that are spoken of by the Shaivite Wisdom School. The Vaikari, which is the sound of that you actually hear, the drum sound or the acoustic sound, the sound of your voice. And then there is the sound of the Madhyama level, which is the sound of thought. Before you speak, there is a thought that wants to be expressed. That thought has a sound wave, but on the level of mind. It's not acoustic anymore. It's a mind wave, but it's still a kind of an internal sound. And then there's a higher sound, you could say, but it's the sound of the archetypal vibration of the spanda itself, prior to a thought, but the potentiality of expressing that which is transcendent of all possible description in language, that then gets stepped down into a capacity to produce poetry or music or some expression in sound of that exquisite realization that is beyond all thought constructs. And then there's an even higher level, the para level, which is the level of God consciousness, from which all possible thoughts and eventually sounds are sourced. But beyond the sound, the world is sustained by a field of light and awareness, intelligent awareness. And it's that light wave, that vibrational frequency, that is functioning at the level of Shakti that pours in from God consciousness to inspire and to uplift and to bring into rapture the consciousness, but also the prana, the life energy of the body, that is attuned to and a step-down version of that same supreme divine light. So we're made of light, and we communicate with the waves of mind and then sound. And all of it is a single whole that is a unified field of vibrational energy transmitted by God constantly.
This kills death.
Hmm?
This will kill death.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there is no death. Yeah.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Mataji. Anyone else before we adjourn? Please.
Yeah, thanks for that. That was enjoyable.
I'm glad.
It was sort of like a revelation, like, kind of seeing like the other side of everybody, and it's like, oh, we're all the same, kind of. And then, like, you know, there's Jog on the Spoons, you know,
yeah.
And then Tambourine Lady, and then
uh-huh.
the dancing people. It was just kind of like funny in that way. And then, like, this body was on the Glockenspiel. And
yeah.
But yeah, you kept saying, like, be possessed by the self or by Shiva. Like, realize who you really are. And every time you said it, I was like, do I know who I really am? And then, am I possessed? And you're like, go beyond the ego. And I'm like, am I beyond the ego? But it was like, it's kind of like a subtle feeling, I guess. But it was reminding me of something I was reflecting on earlier, like in like a little Ramana book with like a lot of quotes, said something like, that the last thing that you'll see the divine in is yourself. And like that's the last thing that we'll like see. And like you can see in other people, and then like to actually see that yourself is the Shiva mm-hmm. playing and dancing. It's like that's kind of the the one thing we kind of are late to recognize.
That's because the consciousness is projecting itself into the world. The world is Shiva, but the one projecting it is the source of that Shiva consciousness. And you couldn't recognize God or divine beauty in the world or in other beings unless it was in yourself. You wouldn't be able to know it unless it was your own vibrational frequency that you were interpreting. So all of this is one consciousness, and that's why, yes, we're all the same. And all of the illusions of differences fall away as soon as we're on that vibrational frequency of unity. And we do that most easily when we're all in joy. Yeah. Because the ego is not in joy. The ego suffers. It enjoys its suffering, but it doesn't enjoy joy.
No. Like, along that line, kind of like I was thinking about like recognizing that, like as myself, like seeing myself as the divine, but not like identifying with it. So like kind of, it was almost like being the awareness, and then like everything that was happening was like kind of the color part of the eye, mm-hmm. where like it was just like a toroidal thing that was happening. And it's like, oh yeah, that's all Shiva. And Shiva's the witness too. So it was like... Mm-hmm. an inseparable part. And then I was like remembering how like during certain like psychedelic experiences, it was just so obvious that like I'm not the body, I'm not Jake, like that was just mm-hmm. a label and a story. Mm-hmm. And then like I was trying to rewire my way back to that, and then there was like another experience where like it was just very obvious that I'm eternal being, and like we can never die, that's mm-hmm. that's all we ever really were. And then like seeing that, and then like I was sitting there, and then like kind of coming up with the most subtle version of connecting all those dots, and it still like wasn't doing it. And then I was thinking, like, I felt like I was being called to just stay in silence.
Yeah, you are.
And is that...
You were trying to do it the hard way, to trying to think your way to God consciousness, when you already are God consciousness, but you'll only know it when you silence the mind, not by trying to use the mind to find yourself, because the mind is how you lose yourself, not how you find yourself. When the mind is silenced, then the self is there. And it's not simply subtle. It's an overpowering, luminous presence that's extremely beautiful and filled with joy and filled with a very unique kind of power and freedom that the ego can never know. And when you're in that state, you will never want to lose it and exchange it for the crumbs of jouissance that the ego can give you. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any last comment from anyone? How many want to do this again? All right. That's a good sign. So shall it be. Thank you all for your joyous participation in creating an energy field of divine harmony and joy and uninhibited freedom, because this is the path to Jivan Mukti. Blessings to you all. Namaste.
Namaste.
And I hope those on Zoom were dancing freely, and that you also are in bliss. May all be in Shiva consciousness.